Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church Podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Well, good morning. Finally, I get to teach a sermon that I prepped for longer than 30 seconds. There's been some technical difficulties, and so I've had to rally a sermon in 30 seconds or under. I think so far I'm in second place behind Pastor Brandon, who had to do it once as well. I wish you could be a fly on the wall for how often Pastor Brandon talks about you guys and the incredible blessing you've been to him. I don't know if you think of yourself like this, but you're walking proof and evidence that God is active in his life, in Pastor Brandon's life. The way he describes what he sees God doing in each of you and in this church, I want you to know that to your own pastor, you're evidence that God is active in doing things in his life and in his family. And I wish you'd be a fly on the wall for that and how he eats a steak, so that finally this matter of how he eats steak can be settled with ketchup. So I wasn't going to keep it going, but now I have to defend my own honor here. I'll spread that kind of rumor. Anyway, my name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors here at Alliance Church. I have the privilege of being here this morning with you guys. I grew up in Appleton, but I raise my kids now. We live in the Hortonville School District. And growing up in Appleton, my dad was the pastor of, at the time, it was Appleton Alliance Church. And as a pastor, you're around people a lot. And you kind of get tired of people. Have you met people before? He loves people, but you just, when you go home, you kind of want some me time. So every time we'd go home and be with dad, we, as kids, I'd want to have friends over. I want to have people over the house. But he was just peopled out. So when our doorbell rang, it was like World War II. Like, lights went out. He's like, get down. My mom would be like army crawling across the floor. Is my mic giving a little bit of feedback? Do you want to go to a handheld? We can do that. Here we go. We're bringing a handheld up. But my mom also had a cabinet full of this dishware. And I remember when we'd have, a dishwasher stuff. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it. Awesome. And I'll just wait to turn the, you want me to turn this off? Is this on? Okay. Sorry. Pastor Brandon never wants to make it easy on me. Every time I come, so just kidding. All right, I'm gonna turn this off. Okay, so my mom had this cabinet full of dishware that whenever there was not enough dishes to go around, I would always look at it, and I'd say, I'm gonna just use one of those. And I didn't know this, but I went in there and I grabbed a plate, had to open it, like with the steel trap that it was. I'd open, pull out a plate, and I'm putting a sandwich on it. And my mom comes in. This is the one time this happened in my life. She comes in, she says, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm making a sandwich, and I'm putting it on a plate. And she was like, that's for company. Put that back. Threw it back in the cabinet, locked it up, put the thing on it. And we never had company. I have never seen anybody use those plates. None of you have been important enough in her life to have the china come out of the safe. Question: if someone really important was coming over, like for dinner, for lunch, someone, think of like a celebrity that you admire, that you would love to meet and love to host in your home. How long would you prepare for that meal? How long would you think about the conversation you're gonna have? How much home reno would you do to your kitchen to prepare for that person coming? Let's say you're in line at Starbucks and you run into this celebrity, you run into this person that you've been admiring from a distance your whole life. You finally meet them and you strike up a conversation with them. They're right behind you in line. You start talking to them. And then you guys kind of hit it off. You realize you have all this stuff in common. You finish each other's sentences. And finally, they look at you and go, hey, what's your number? Give me your number. Let's stay in touch. It's cool. I kind of live in the area, or I pop into this area every now and then. And then they say, hey, look, you know, I swing past this Starbucks all the time. What if you just met me here 15 minutes early on your way into work? And we'll just, you know, it's lonely at the top being a celebrity. We'll just hang out, catch up, and I'll meet you here 15 minutes early. We'll swap stories, keep in touch. What would you tell them? I'm not a morning person. I have to think about it, pencil you in. And then the Creator God Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, says, hey, I want to spend some time with you. I want to talk to you. I want to hear what's on your heart. We're too busy. We go a whole day and we're lying in bed at night. We're falling asleep. We're like, I forgot to pray today. I forgot to talk to God. The most important being to exist in the world wants to know you, have a conversation with you, and we just forget it. Why is it so hard to pray? Why is it so difficult? Well, all over Scripture, there's these verses that talk about prayer, and they add a word to it. There's a couple of them I had last week that I was talking through, and I forgot to throw the slide in this week, but the word is devotion to prayer. Stay devoted to prayer. The disciples devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves. This word devoted throughout the entire New Testament, where it's used in context of prayer, is like running a marathon. It's stay the course. Don't quit on it. Keep running, even when it's suffering, when it's hard, keep going, stay devoted to prayer. Why is it so hard to be devoted to prayer? I do a lot of premarital counseling, and I talk to young couples about to get married, and one of the things that I'll say, listen, you guys are gonna have to be devoted to each other and stay devoted to working on your communication and working it out, and keep talking and keep communicating and don't quit on it. And they look at me and they say, oh, Pastor, we're in love. We're different. It's gonna be easy for us. We're not gonna have to work at it at all. It's just natural. And I usually say, I'll see you in post-marriage counseling. It takes devotion. Any good relationship takes work on communication. And your walk with God, your communication with Him takes some work, and here's why. I was driving my daughter to school, and I was telling her, I was saying this a couple months ago, I said, Addie, I'm gonna be gone for a few days. I need you to be a good girl for Mom. I'm gonna go, and I'm going away. And she says, Daddy, where are you going? I said, well, I'm gonna go learn about prayer. I was going to a prayer conference. I'm gonna go learn about prayer. And it was kind of quiet for a little bit. And then she said, Daddy, don't you know everything there is to know about prayer? And before 3 years ago, before I started this journey on studying prayer, I would have said, yeah, it's simple. I would have said, prayer is simple. It's just talking to God. It's easy. It's simple. But after the last 3 years, I started a journey and I began to realize that like every other truth in the Bible, every other biblical truth, it is both simple enough to teach to a child. It's why Discovery Land's going on right below us here. It's why we're teaching the Bible to kids, because it's simple enough for children to learn and obey and do. But it is also profound enough to write a doctoral thesis on and not even scratch the surface. The Bible is full of truths like this that are both simple and profound. And today I'm asking you, today I'm asking us as a church to choose to have some humility and some teachability to say, there is more. There is more to prayer that I can learn. It is both simple, it is talking to God, but it is so profound. And if we are willing to have the humility to recognize we don't know all there is to know about prayer, there is more for us, and we're willing to be teachable, God gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, it says, but He'll give you the grace that you're looking for with prayer. So if you're willing, ask the question that the disciples asked in Luke chapter 11. It's right behind me here, Luke chapter 11. The disciples, they asked Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And if you're humble enough, and you're willing to say, I don't know it all when it comes to prayer, and you're willing to say, Lord, teach me to pray, he will. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go another decade of my life walking with God and readily concede to people I struggle with my prayer life. It is not a flourishing part of my walk with God. So that's what we're doing. That's what this series is about. We kicked off last week. I think one of my relatives was here last week. One of my Italian relatives, my dad, talking about the first part of this prayer a little bit. Jesus actually taught on prayer in a couple places. This is in Matthew chapter 6, and this is the start of the Lord's Prayer. It starts actually in verse 9 in chapter 6. Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. In Luke chapter 11, it says, pray like this. Not meaning pray these exact words. We know Jesus didn't always pray the exact words. He said, pray like this, which means it's a template. Okay, there means there's themes in here. And he says this, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then this is the section we're going to be in today. And there's a lot in here, so I'm not going to get through all of it, but here it is. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, one of the things that my daughter, who's 5, has to do is she has to work on her writing and learning language and writing written communication. And this is what her homework often looks like. You ever remember seeing these when you were a kid, these little dotted lines here where you have to kind of trace the lines? Everybody has their own kind of handwriting. They've all got a special kind of personality to it. But when you're just starting out, when you're just learning, you have to do this. You've got to kind of trace the dotted lines to make the right letter, and you've got to do it exactly the way it is on your homework, or else you don't pass, like me. But you have to do this to start. Now, you'll eventually develop your own handwriting, and that's a beautiful thing. That's art. I mean, that's why when you start a business, you're like, we need a cool font for our name, right? You're always looking for a cool font. Everybody's got a cool signature that they have. But when you're just starting out, you gotta start here. You gotta start with just learning the basics, and you gotta trace the letters. Now, I'm willing to bet in a room this size with this many people, there's probably some people in here that would say, look, when it comes to prayer, I'm at the starting point. I mean, when I think about how often I pray, when I think about being asked to pray publicly in front of people, man, I feel like I'm in kindergarten. I'm at the ground floor when it comes to prayer. Look, the first step toward progress is admitting that. And if that's where you're at, look, if you, no matter what age you are, if you're like, I've gone my whole life, the disciples, right? They looked at Jesus, they saw all the miracles he was doing, they saw the power, and they made the quick math in their head, and they said, how do you pray? Because we see the power, and we know it comes from the prayer. How do you pray? If you're willing to ask Jesus to teach you to pray, are you humble enough to start at the beginning? Start the basics. And what I would encourage you to do is start with the Lord's Prayer. Trace the lines. Look, one day you'll invent your own kind of language and style of kind of talking to God. That's gonna happen. You have your own personality. It's very personal to you. But before you can get there, you gotta start with the basics. And what I don't mean is this. I don't mean pray these exact words, though that is not a bad place to start. But I'm not saying you have to do that every time. I know Jesus wasn't saying that, because he said, pray like this. He didn't say pray these exact words. So here's what I mean by tracing the lines. It doesn't mean pray the exact words, okay? It means line up, trace your heart and your thoughts and your heart to the words. You know, one of the best messages on prayer that I've heard in a while, Pastor Brandon preaches a couple weeks ago. If you missed it, go back and watch it. It was on a couple verses earlier in this passage when it says in verse 7, it says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans. Meaning, don't use empty words. It means this. When you pray, God is looking at your heart, not your words. Your words are over here. God's looking at your heart. And what you need to do when you're praying is match up your words to your heart. So that's what it means to not pray babbling prayers. Don't be all about the words. God's looking at your heart. So match up your words to your heart. So what he's telling you to do when he's teaching you to pray is he's saying match up your heart to these themes, to these ideas. And listen, Jesus just didn't give you the words. He gave you the sequence, the order. Look, we believe this. The Bible is the inspired word of God. Every word in here is inspired. But you know what else is inspired? The order, the sequence, the divinely inspired order. First this, then this. If you skip number one, you cannot go to number two. So the first thing we learn about this part of the prayer is this. Don't skip the process of warming your heart against the love and the glory of God. You cannot get here without first warming your heart to this. Here's what it means. When you start your prayer, again, it's not about the words, but you're matching your heart up. God, Jesus is giving you an order. So start matching up your heart to the words. Our Father. So start there. Okay, you begin your prayer with relationship. You're standing with God. Here's what I'm saying. Collect your identity with God first before you get to all this. Look, where do we usually start our prayers? Right here. Lord, give me this. Forgive me this. Give me, you know, and then we say amen. Listen, do you even feel better after that prayer? Is that even helping you out? Lord, give me this. I need this. Amen. Does that even help? Just collect your identity first. And here's what this means. It means you don't pray works-based prayer. You know what works-based prayer is? Works-based prayer is where you pray for the approval of God. That's another form of babbling prayer, like the pagans do, it says here, where you're trying to say the right words to manipulate God, trying to earn his favor, trying to earn his approval. Listen, as a child of your heavenly Father, you don't pray for approval. You already have it. See, it's grace-based prayer. You're praying, look, start at the beginning. Go with it. You pray from a place of approval. You pray from a place of victory. You pray from a place of hope. And then you start your prayer. That's why Jesus is like, don't skip this. Pray like this. I want you to pray like this. You pray from a place. Look, my daughter, I was proud of her. And I loved her. And I approved of her long before she did anything productive. I'm still waiting for that day. She's still not paying rent, but I love her. I'm so proud of her. Look, your heavenly Father, you have his approval, you have his love. Start there. And let me tell you something. This remind yourself of how expensive this was. This was expensive. Start there. Listen, not everybody is a child of God. And I know that's hard to hear. And the Bible mentions some, you know, we're offspring of God in that just like a father, fathers create their kids. They're a part of the creative process. I'll leave it there for any of the kids in the room. But, you know, there's offspring in that sense. We're created by God the Father. But it says John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And whoever believes in him and calls on his name, it says in that same book, John, it says he gives the right to become a child of God. So when you are born physically, it only is one time. And then when you are born spiritually, it is only one time. And the spiritual birth means you look like your spiritual parents, right? Physically, you bear the resemblance of your physical parents. Biologically, you bear the resemblance of your spiritual parents. Problem is, we bear nothing the resemblance of God. He is perfect and holy. So the only way that happens is if we put our faith and our trust in the sacrifice and the suffering of that cross with Jesus and his resurrection to pay the debt for all the imperfection in our life and cover over it and trust him. It's when God opens your eyes and calls you by name and says, you're mine, I want you, and adopts you, and you repent and you ask for forgiveness. And when that happens, new birth, one time and one time only, and you now have him as your heavenly Father. Start there. But listen, your sonship, your daughtership, it means nothing if you're the son or the daughter of a beggar, of a poor pauper. But if you're the daughter of a king, if you're the son of a trillionaire, well, now there's something. If you're royalty, don't skip this. You got to trace the lines. You have God's approval. You stand in your sonship and your daughter when you close your eyes and fold your hands. You line your heart up to this and how expensive that was. But don't ever get casual. For your own sake, look, God's not petty. He doesn't need your honor. He's not easily offended when you don't honor him. God's fine. He doesn't need your honor. The reason you honor God and you never get casual with him, he's never just familiar and casual and a little buddy in your pocket, is because this makes no sense. This is useless to you if you don't deal with the reality of how holy, how sovereign, how powerful, how almighty, how immeasurably and unspeakably capable he is. If you skip this, this means nothing. Your problems are way bigger, unless this is true. This is just reality. Praise is the natural response to reality. Let me tell you what you're doing. When you're doing this, when you recognize the hallowedness, the holiness of God, and his love for you, his delight in you, what happens here is you have just warmed the iron rod of your will, what you want, your kingdom, what your will is and what your kingdom is. It has been softened. It has been warmed up against the white hot glory and love of God. This is your natural response. This is your natural response to say, Lord, your will, your kingdom, you love me this much, and you are that holy and other and almighty and powerful, your kingdom and your will. Listen. Prayer is not the bending of God's will to yours. Prayer is the bending of your will to God's. That's what we pray. My son now. I've depicted enough on Addie. Elias is three. And Elias, this will happen normally, on a normal week. We will be in a public setting, and he will beg me for something. He will point to it and say, I want that with everything in me. And he will sob openly. He will question my undying love for him. And he will think, actually, this guy is out to destroy me. And do you know what the real reason is? This just happened like a couple days ago. Do you know what the real reason is? I cannot give him what he wants. You know what the real objective truth of that is? Elias, it will electrocute you. You will be electrocuted if you suck on that cable. What's wrong with you? That's normal. The intellectual gap between my 3-year-old son and my 36-year-old self. The gap between us, the gap between a 3-year-old and an intellectually even kind of dense 36-year-old, that gap is nothing compared to the intellectual gap between you and the Almighty God. It's nothing. It is so small. Compared to what you know is best, what you know is right, it's nothing. Why would you think for a minute that you will tell your three-year-old kids no less often than God will tell you with what you're praying for. Listen, you need to learn this. This is so important. Some of you need to hear this. This is gonna heal. It's gonna hurt and heal at the same time. And usually good medicine is that way. Usually when you go to the doctor, it both heals and hurts at the same time. Listen. You need to learn to thank God as much, not less, not a little bit. Thank God as much for the no's in your prayer life as much as the yes. There is as much grace in the yes, and there is as much grace in the no as there is in the yes. It's the same amount of love and grace coming to you. So what's number two? What's the next thing we learn about this? Is your first request, your first order of business, your first prayer request every time and underneath and around and in the middle of all your requests is to ask God to tell you what to ask for. In all things, you do not want to change God's mind. You know, in the Old Testament, we often think in the Old Testament, see these dramatic stories of God and his people, the Israelites, and these violent and dramatic punishments. Do you know what the punishments are? You know what most of the punishments are from God to his people in the Old Testament? You know what they are? It's just giving them what they asked for. It is. It's just relenting. Like they're begging God, God, we want a king. God, we want to make an alliance with the Assyrians. God, we want this. We want this. And God says, no. Finally, God goes, okay, fine. I'll give you what you want. And that's punishment. That is punishment. Getting what you want is punishment from God. You don't want God to answer your prayers without this being your first, last, and middle request. You want his kingdom. He's a good king. You got to know him. He's your father, and he's a good king, and he's holy and almighty. You will get to know the king, and this will be your natural request. This will be your natural plea. This is the natural response, okay? This is the last point, is this is the natural loving request from the love of God, okay? This is the natural loving response. There's been a lot of studies done on infants, scientific studies researching this about infants and their emotions and their particularly happiness or sadness and joy and all those things. And it's been proven over and over again. Infants cannot smile and experience joy and any kind of affection unless they see it first. You know, mom has to look down at that baby and smile. And then the baby's looking around, and then the baby sees mom smile, and he smiles back. You know, this is so important. They can't smile back until they've seen the affection of mom or dad. There was a 60 Minutes years ago about a North Korean kid born in a concentration camp. His only knowledge of existence was in a North Korean concentration camp, and he gets away, he sneaks away to South Korea, and he's being interviewed by Scott Pelley on the 60 Minutes, and he's describing how he never knew this thing called love. And he wasn't being like, it wasn't even sad for him. He just didn't know. You know, he would do things. He was embraced by this family, kind of took him in and took care of him, and he would do things and say things that were horrible and mean, but he just never knew love. Why? Because he was never shown love from the moment of his birth. He was never knew it. The Bible puts it like this. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, we love because he first loved us. When you know the Father and how much he loves you, when you know this, this is your natural response. I'm going to bring up, Daniel's going to close us in a song that's going to kind of help get the, we can't get this right unless we've spent time here. So we're going to spend a little bit of time here so we can get this right when you leave. So that as you walk out that door, you're going to be begging God for this. So here's what I want, one last story. Do you ever go to like an event, a wedding reception, a wedding ceremony, and you know no one? You don't know anybody. And the one person that sits down next to you is the one person who is super boring to talk to. You ever have that guy? That might be me. Okay, there's just, and you're like there, and you're just like, it's like root canal, and you're just like talking to them, and they're like one word answers, super boring, and you're like, this conversation cannot end faster. And finally they leave, and you're like, good riddance to that guy. And then someone comes up to you, and they say, do you know who that was? And you're like, yes, that was the person that inspired me to get a paper cut in the eyeball. And they're like, no, that was so-and-so. And you, so-and-so? Yes. From the whatchamacallit? Yes. Oh my goodness, I am so embarrassed. And then I said that, oh my gosh, he saw the eye roll. And I would have asked him so many things. I would have talked to him about so much stuff. Oh, if only I had known that was who I was talking to. Let me tell you something. The reason prayer is hard for you, the reason it's like pulling teeth, is because you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know him. You don't know him as he really is. You don't know how much he loves you. You don't know how wonderful and glorious he is. You don't know how holy he is and how good he is. You don't know him. And it's why we did this thing. It's why we had to put this together so you could just dig a little bit deeper with some people in a small group and figure it out why we got men's ministry and women's ministry happening here. It's because you got to get to know him. You got to read the book. Get to know the King. Get to know him. I believe this. You're going to see him one day. If you're his son or his daughter, you're going to see him. You're going to get to heaven. You're going to see him and be with him. And your first response is going to be, I had access to him. I had access to him. He was, that's who he is. Oh man, I never would have stopped praying. I would have prayed without ceasing just to be with him, just to be in his presence. And I would have begged him, not for my prayer requests also, but I would have just said, Lord, I want your kingdom. If this is it, I want this really. And I want this really down here. Why don't you stand? Lord, we confess to you our deepest need, our heart's desire and cry is your kingdom. Come, Lord Jesus King. Come into this place. Come into our hearts. Come into our marriages. Come into our families. Come into our jobs. Come into our finances. Come into our schedule. We want your will. We want your priorities. We want your values. Come into this church. Take your rightful place. Hallowed King, be your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.